Another, I'm going to start my timer so I make sure I get out in an hour. I'm not like other people. Just let the show end. And that happened last week. Amy hijacked my show. Joe?
What's up?
SerialKillerCentral.com?
Yep. SKCentral.com.
Talking to that mic, bro.
SKCentral.com.
Yeah, Joe, and what, you care to give out your last name? You don't care?
Hiles, H-I-L-E-S, Hiles.
And so, let me see that book you're doing. So, I got to tell you, it's an honor to meet you.
Yeah, I've heard about you for a while.
Well, what have you heard?
Dad, the normal shit. Last interviews, all the good stuff. Hopefully this won't be my last.
It might be.
I hope not.
Because I feel like I'm a serial killer ready to snap.
Well, wait till I leave.
I don't know, man. I've been a big fan of your site for a long time, and I actually have it bookmarked in my favorites.
Well, I appreciate that.
So it's a honor to meet you, and it's a rare thing for me to bookmark a website.
Try to get it updated more often.
Your website's pretty complete, though. Well,
I update it as often as I can. Add more and more.
What made you do a website, Joe? Like that. How long have you been doing it?
I started in 96 or 97 on Angel Fire, and I just had a bunch of links to different killer websites. I decided to make my own and start out with a Ramirez site and a Berkowitz site. And I just added them all together and made one big one.
And so what has happened because of your site? Anything? You get any media, any press?
I was on the John Walsh show once and a couple different radio interviews, stuff like that.
You were on the John Walsh show?
Yeah, he wasn't too fond of me.
I heard about you then. Oh, okay, yeah. Interesting. So how'd that go?
They flew us out to New York and stayed for free, and then they lied to us about the whole show, said it was going to be something totally different than what it was. It's supposed to be, like, about collecting itself, and then they got there, and it's about profiting from murder.
Right.
And they all hated me. They wanted me to be a target, so I sat there and let them give me hell.
Well, I got to tell you, I would have had a heart on that whole broadcast.
I took some Otis Tool art with me just to piss him off.
Oh, yeah? And what did he think? Oh, did you show him that?
I had it on stage with me, but I never showed any of it. They didn't ask to see it.
Did you bring it up? Like your son was taken by
Otis? He brought it up himself, and then he called me a sick son of a bitch for having it.
Really?
Yeah. That was pretty wild. It was a good time, though.
So tell me more about it, man. Did he shake your hand afterward?
No, he didn't even come see me. As soon as the show was over with, they rushed us out of the building and like straight out to the car like the crowd was going to come after me or something. But I'd seen Harold Schechter. He was there also. I didn't get to talk to him. He talked during the show.
Who's that?
Harold Schechter, the true crime author.
Okay, I don't know who he is.
He wrote Deviant and Depraved about Gein and Fish
on.
And all that. And
Depraved. That's the word, the other D word.
Yeah, and Deviant, Depraved.
Yeah. So, and you didn't get to talk to him, huh?
Not, I sat next to him in the dressing room, but I didn't realize who it was till after the show, so I didn't really get to say anything to him.
And so did John Walsh treat him better because he's author?
Oh, yeah. He was respectful to him and very disrespectful to me. But it's kind of expected. I didn't expect anything different.
Why? Why do you think that was... Why do you think you were treated that way?
I got artwork from the guy that killed his son. I can't really see him being too nice to me about it.
But that's not your fault.
I didn't kill him. Everybody on the stage said, you're going to be a killer. You're going to be a killer. You collect this shit, you're going to be a killer.
Really?
That's a bunch of horse shit. There's a... John King, that guy that dragged that black guy down to death in Texas.
Yeah.
The black guy's sister was there. And
he's a hero of mine.
There's another one that was... some nurse that killed a bunch of babies down there. I can't remember her name off the top of my head.
Right.
One of the baby's moms was on there. And Andy Cahan, he was there.
Oh, I love that guy.
No, he's a prick.
I've had to debate him before on a radio show. He's funny.
He's an idiot.
Yeah, did you get to square off with any of these people?
Well, every time I open my mouth and said something, they start yelling and cut me off. And the only time I got something in to defend myself, they cut it out of the fucking show.
But so, of course.
Yeah, so it was a one-sided debate, so. Probably got a free trip to New York out of it.
I have a similar instance with Queen Latifah. And they brought me out there and lied. But I refused to go on unless they let me on by myself.
So I didn't know what to expect. They didn't tell me who I was going to be there.
Well, when they told me Dana Plato's family was there, I said, I'm not going on. And they said, oh, you're afraid? I said, no, you lied to me. And I don't want to go on and be in the position you were. So I made them put me on all on my own in my own segment, like my own break. And me and Queen Latifah had words and argued, and I shut her down a couple times. I said, the only difference between me and you, honey, is you're making about $100,000 a commercial minute in the breaks. I'm lucky to make a couple thousand bucks in a month off this shit.
I've made maybe $200 or $300. I ain't made shit, really.
Well, that's like Andy Khan, that fucking... You know what? I got that homo... You know, I hate that guy. I really... I've got his number right here. I would love to give him a call and see if he's in. What do you think? What do you think?
Go for it.
I think we're going to play a song. Let's play the CD real quick. Who is this?
Which one you got? Church of Misery?
It's all Chinese guys.
Hey, yo, fuck, that's Church of Misery. Yo, they had them rappers silence too long, baby.
It's a rock music,
they can't
about killing.
Fucking hold me down, nigga.
Sounds
fuck
like
this nigga story. It's the INC, nigga.
Murder.
MIB, nigga. Murder ain't bosses. Motherfuckers. Ja Rule.
Ja Rule? Look, this is the wrong shit. How dare you try to speak that? You see? This is what Joe Conserva from Central is listening to in his car. Let's play the second CD. Number two?
Yeah.
All right. This is who?
Implicit.
Vocal Bank?
Yeah.
All right. Enjoy.
Alone and restless, it seems, but it's so unreal.
Hey, you know what? I don't like this CD. What do you think about that, Joe?
Shit happens.
It's okay. But, you know, if anyone from Implicit ever hears this, it's really not you. I just like the sound of my own voice so much better. I can talk over Joe all day long, as you probably noticed if you listen. But we're playing in the background a little bit while we try to call Andy Kahn. We're going to try to call Andy motherfucking Kahn. Victims.
This is Andy Kahn with the Mayor's Crime Victims Office. I'll be out of the office until June 22nd. I will occasionally check for messages. If you are a crime victim and you are in need of assistance, please call 713-247-1565. Thank you.
Andy Kahn, my name's Shane Wayne Gacy. I need to talk to you. I'm in need. How would I have known he was going to be on vacation? I tried.
Maybe next time.
We'll harass that punk. So, hey man, with this irritated music going on behind... Oh, I mean great music in Perth is great. Joe, skcentral.com.
Yep.
What makes a serial killer, Joe?
Three.
To you. Not the bullshit FBI. Don't give me that three murders bullshit, man. To you.
Couple murders that keep it interesting.
Just a couple, huh?
It could be one, two, three. If you got a desire to kill more, I think it makes him a serial killer.
Exactly what I'm saying. Now, did you hear about this new book by that Helen Wetchmajinger, My Life with Serial Killers?
Yeah, Inside the Mind or some shit like that.
Have you heard about that at all?
I haven't read it, but I've heard about it.
Did you hear she said Gene kept the mother in the house?
That's a little bit of nonsense there.
You've never heard that before, right?
No. Yeah.
The guy who wrote the article for the Chicago Reader, I'm going to give that to you. Now, you got to take that around, and the guy wants to let people know he busted her out cold.
All right.
Really hard in this article. He's really hard on her. And that's the Chicago Reader for anyone listening. It's a local paper weekly. This guy named Chip really ripped apart Helen Wetchmajinger.
Like Morrison, I think.
Yeah, Morrison. I hate to give her a name. But, you know, he asked me questions about that, and I said, you know, when you have a PhD in front of your name, I would assume you know what the fuck you're talking about.
Keep that shit honest.
Yeah. So, you're saying, and I agree with you. See, you are a serial killer, aren't you?
No, not personally. Not yet.
But you... Okay, now, I had John from the H.H. Holmes documentary in...
Yeah.
And we brought him in for special guests for you. He's coming in. You know, I know that was
that was
last week and the week before. No. He's in the other room, and he's going to come in, and we're going to talk about the H.H. Holmes DVD and how we liked it or didn't like it.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah. We'll talk to him. Yeah, I thought it was great, too. But when he came in and talked, we were talking, and it seems like he's coming from an angle different from me. He's coming from the angle where he's a horror writer and into the you know, Vincent Price, which I am too, but he's coming from that angle. When I got into serial killers, it was Gacy was the first one because he was local, and I'm reading about it, and I was interested in reading between the lines, but I also related to these serial killers in a way that their childhood, I had problems in my childhood, whatever, so I related to the typical story of a serial killer, and having John in here, he makes me more creeped out about myself each and every time he opens his mouth. He's like, serial killers like to travel. They like to roam. And I'm like, holy fuck, I was just talking about my wife saying, you know, we got to just travel the country. Fuck owning a house.
Just drove up to Chicago for the hell of it last
See?
Night.
So where do you come from? Where's your interest come from? Do you relate with serial killers in a way? Do you?
I relate with them, but I don't have the bad childhood or nothing like that. It's
no?
Normal childhood growing up, staying at home.
You just fantasize about killing?
Not, never really, but if it comes, it comes, you know.
You've never thought about killing?
Well, everybody's thought about it.
Okay.
But I don't sit and dwell on it.
But you don't have your pants off when you think of
no,
it.
No, I keep my hand off my cock.
Tell me more about your interest with serial killers, man.
So I don't really know where to start. I remember.
Well, you have a clue. You say serial killers are one kill. If he wants to do more, that makes a serial killer. And yeah. That's how I am. FBI says three kills. They're out of their mind.
That's like the legal term, but it's the desire to kill more people, I think. You know, even if you just do get one, but you got plans to do more and have done more, just ain't got caught for them.
So you don't agree with that Helen Morrison theory of it's just a crinked chromosome?
They're made, not born.
Right, and she says how they none of them are alcoholics, none of them are drunks or
bullshit.
Drug addicts. That's what
that's
I said.
Bullshit.
I said, you ever seen those great Dahmer's a photo all spread eagle on his army bunk with the
passed out in the bed?
Yeah. I mean, so you thoroughly disagree with that?
Yeah, I guess I won't read that book.
No, it's read this article and you'll have the whole book. She dug her own grave with what
check
she
it
says.
Out.
She hasn't. She's not. Well. She doesn't have a clue. Don't check it out. Check out the article. Don't check out that book. You got a favorite serial killer?
Not really. Tommy Lynn Sells is pretty interesting.
Who's that? Never heard.
He's down in Texas. They call him the Coast to Coast Killer. He got arrested on like January 1st, 2000, like very first day of the year. He broke into a trailer and sliced this kid's throat and got another kid, but she lived. But besides that, he killed like maybe 20 people just from all over New York, and Illinois, Florida, Kentucky. Wherever he's at, he'd kill somebody. I wrote to him probably 2 years, and we just got along good and kept my interest.
Interesting. Well, that is, I've never heard of him. It's funny. Why do you think some serial killers make the news and others don't? Some make the greatest A-list celebrity serial killers.
Everybody gets burnt out on it because, you know, it's so played out anymore because the media don't blow it up because they're so used to seeing them happen anymore.
But even the heyday of
even now, they're not as interesting as they used to be. You know, like Kemper, he's a fucking nutcase. And Gacy, that was different with the clown suit and all that shit.
I don't know, man. With this Moust guy down the block, we had a guy who killed a couple boys and was a serial killer down the block in Hammond. And CNN, it was worldwide news. But the guy from Texas killed 20, slashed a kid's throats. Really,
yeah,
some nice work.
Well, he was on Dateline NBC, I think it was, 2020 or one of those shows.
Oh, well, I've never heard of him. Well, how many serial killers do you correspond with, man?
Currently, I only write two or three, but...
Who?
Roy Norris, Herbert Mullen every now and then, Joe Roy Metheny in Massachusetts.
Explain to the listening crowd, the listening audience, who those folks are. I remember Roy Norris from the old...
Him and Larry Bideker, they picked up a bunch of teenage girls out in California.
That's the freeway killers?
No, they were called the Murder Mac because they had a van that they called the Murder Mac. They'd take them in their van and torture them. And they called Bideker Pliers because he'd take pliers and rip the girls' nipples off.
Ow, ow, ow!
We got an audio tape where they're bashing this girl's elbows and twisting her shit off. It's pretty twisted.
There's an audio tape of that?
I'd like to find it, but I can't find it. But I got the text that's on it, so I know what it says, but I just can't hear it.
Oh, you know what? I might have that in my box of serial killer tapes. I bought a box of serial killer tapes. And I'm going to look through it real quick. Explain those other two people.
Herbert Mullen, he's out in Santa Cruz, California. Killed 13, I think it was. He said he was killing to stop a major earthquake in California. He killed a priest in a confessional booth and a bunch of kids out camping. And Joe Roy Metheny, he killed, I think it was 6 or 8 over in Massachusetts. Went out looking for his wife, and they said she was under a bridge with some crackheads and ended up killing all the people living underneath the bridge at the time.
Man, that's fucked up. Who do you think is the, out of all the serial killers, so those are your favorites, or those are the people you're corresponding
with? Those are just the ones I write right now.
Okay, who do you think's the top dog in your book?
Probably Ramirez. That's alive right now. Ramirez probably.
Like him?
He's boring to write to, I think, but it's
pretty. Well, not to write to. I'm just talking about accomplishments. You know, we got to give him like America. This is like American Idol, serial killer idol. Who's your
the terror that he
serial
done?
Serial killer idol.
Just being so random made everybody so scared to death of him because he could have hit anywhere at any time.
Who?
Ramirez.
So you like him?
Yeah.
He gets your vote, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, you know, you could be like the Simon Cowell of serial killers right now.
No, I'm not going to be no Simon. That fucker's a prick.
No, you don't like him?
No.
So you're more like Randy?
No, I don't watch the show. I don't even know.
You just admitted almost you watch the show.
Now Simon was on that Scary Movie 3. I just don't like him.
But you can be like Randy then. What up, dog? Cool dog. No, I watch American Idol. That's all right.
I don't like that shit.
All the it's sadistic, man. It's good. It's like a bondage film, but with little girls. It's fun. So you like Ramirez, and that's just because people were so in fear of him?
Yeah.
So dead or alive, who's just the top dog period in the history of serial killing?
Albert Fish.
Oh, that's your favorite?
Yeah.
Straight up?
Albert Fish or Ed Gein, one of the two.
Why?
No idea. Just looks like a crazy old grandpa, you know? This kind of guy you worry about seeing walking down the street. You know something's wrong with this fucking guy.
Come on, Joe. You got to have an idea, man. Don't tell me you're stretching out the flesh, wearing it around and dancing the moon, sticking pins in you. What?
Not Come anymore. On. I quit that shit years ago.
Because I've got an idea. I like my favorites are Panzeram.
He is pretty interesting.
You know, he's just fucking unrelenting, man. You know,
didn't give a fuck. You'd take anybody.
And then he wrote about it, and he's like, no fucking bullshit. I sodomized 1,000 men from here to New York. I'm up and kill them all. I like this. I like that, and I really liked Ramirez, and I like them because, well, the sodomy's one thing, but, you know, I always appreciate a sodomy and the crime, blood and shit, you know, it's just nothing like it, blood, semen, and shit, that's life, right? It's life and or death.
Make it gory.
Yeah, but I really like them because they're honest. They don't sit there and whine about mom made them do it or anything. It's like they talked about just that was in the
That's
heart.
Where Metheny is. He don't give a fuck. He'll tell you about it straight up. That's how I did it.
Who was that? The guy that killed the kids in Texas?
No, this one out in Massachusetts. Joe Roy Metheny. He didn't give a fuck. He'll tell you straight up right now. If he gets out, he'll do it again. He don't care.
Yeah, see, those are the killers I like because they're talking about it where I feel that Helen Lady was wrong about serial killers. I think it's just... I think it's part of being an animal.
Yeah.
And when these people go to that part and they start enjoying it, I think that's just, they're getting into their animal. And the people that get caught, like Gacy or stuff, they get caught out of guilt, like some religious guilt. They feel bad about it.
They get sloppy.
Yeah, but both of them get sloppy. Ramirez got sloppy, yeah. Too, because he was in a euphoric frenzy.
He was in a coke frenzy.
Yeah, well, you know, euphoria, drug-driven, blood-driven, rape-driven. But he was like in this, you know, he was into it. And he was just loving it, and he was greedy. But there's the greed and the guilt that get you. And I like, there's very few killers that'll admit to it and you know, revel in their crimes. So I dig those serial killers. Those are
I like to check out that Gary Ridgway, the Green River guy.
Yeah, is that the guy who just got caught?
Yeah, he just got charged like 48 murders or something like that. He admitted to.
I thought that was a Zodiac guy, but that's a Green.
Yeah, Green River killer.
Right. Okay.
So I'm hoping he won't be all, I'm sorry, you know, God forgive me, I'm turned religious. And I want to see him tell his story.
Yeah, you know, next week on Three Ring Radio, I'm going to play a bunch of clips from all these serial killers because I got a ton of audio tapes. And I'd almost like to play them now, but, you know, I'd rather just talk to Joe, and John's going to come in, and we're going to talk about the Holmes DVD in a little bit. So I'm going to play these next week, but I do have that audio of him confessing, and it's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's detailed. He talks about, you know, raping and killing, and he's pretty detailed.
The county where he got arrested at, they got a big $10,000. You can get, like, 50 DVDs of all his interviews and CD-ROMs and texts and everything from this case that you need to know.
$10?
No, like $10,000.
Oh, that's the courthouse?
Yeah.
But that's a lot. $10,000?
Yeah.
Well, they're just being outrageous.
Yeah,
with that
it's pretty crazy, but you get everything. But if anybody wants to buy it, they can send it to me.
Columbine did the same thing, but it was they tried to do that shit for expensive amounts, and then I released news to the media. I put out a press release saying they were making money off of this. They were profiting from the thing. So, hey, what are they any different than me and you or people that are profiting off the victims, as they say? And they dropped their prices to like $2 for a video cassette almost overnight. You know, back to that John Walsh show, because I got a real hard-on for John Walsh. I'm going to tell you. I think I might have a non-sexual crush on John Walsh at this point. Okay? Because, he is like the quintessential dude that's exploiting. And
he's made a living off of it.
Yeah, man, he made a good living. I mean, and that's, when I'm interviewed some time to time about serial killers, they ask about the victims' families, and I say, fuck the victims' families, man. They shouldn't be paying attention to me. They should be paying attention to what's
Andy
going
Cain,
on.
He like, tells them about it, and they won't know shit about all the stuff that's out there. Then he'll call them up and say, this is right here, man. You got to see this is right here. Yeah. He's rubbing the shit in their faces, and he's giving me hell for it.
Yeah, Paulina Klass.
Yeah.
That guy's a sick man. And how can you go from making 40 grand a year to making $100,000 a year by taking donations for a foundation.
Make it living off the death of your kid.
Yeah, that's weird to me. It's that's more bizarre than. See, I know where the problem's lying. I'm with, you know, these serial killers like Gacy. He should have his hands chopped off.
Yeah.
Fuck making paintings. I don't even know why he was allowed to. People in Chicago wanted to give me death threats, kill me. I said, why me? Go to the penitentiary. They let him paint, and they send me the paintings.
He's allowed to do it.
I sell them to people who want to buy them. I'm not posting them out on. I give them to people who want them. So what's wrong with that? You know, I heard Amy and John last week talking about how they would kill someone. And I think they were talking about strangling. I don't know. We'll ask them. But I'm going to ask you the same question.
I'd go for the strangling, too. It seems more personal that way.
Yeah?
If you're going to do it, make a connection with the person you're killing. You know?
But that's like a fun kill, right?
Well, wouldn't they all be if that's what you're into?
Well, I don't know. There's a way to get away with killing, and then there's a way to have fun with it. I agree. If I'm going to go over the edge and kill someone for fun, I'm definitely going to have my penis in them, and I'm going to be fucking choking them, and I want that shit to clinch right around my dick. And, you know, I can see that. But I would go for poisoning just for... to get away with it and just keep getting away with it. You know, I sort of like those nurses in the hospitals.
No, they get a lot of them.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of those people around the country. No one talks about them. But
if you pick the right victims, though, and get rid of the body goods, you can get away with it anyway.
Yeah.
There's prostitutes or runaways.
That's the thing, right? That is the thing. You got to wonder, like the FBI says, how many killers are out there right now?
Don't have no idea about.
A fucking shitload, they say. Right?
Yeah.
Don't they say a lot?
They're like 300 or 400 active, I think they say.
Mass murder or serial killer?
Serial killer.
You're down with that?
Yeah.
Is that you?
I don't like the mass murder thing.
So you're down with... You'd be a serial killer?
Yeah.
So you are?
No.
I know. Joe?
Not yet.
We have an exclusive.
Give me some
Joe
time.
From SK Central right now is admitting on air. Oh, my God. He's got a knife. No. Yeah, I like the mass murder myself. I'm down with Timothy McVeigh style action, you know?
Do it big, one time, one shot.
Fucking McVeigh, man. I mean, that's, you know...
Huberty done a pretty good job. It's McDonald's in California.
You know, he did. He did. But you have SK Central. Do you have Huberty and mass murderers on there?
I got a couple, like, just notorious murders, but nothing like Huberty or nothing like that.
Let's hear. A famous female serial killer? You got anyone?
Warnos.
Eileen Warnos?
Yeah.
Really? Why?
I don't really like the female thing very much, but
I got
the shirt she wore in prison, so that's the only really female case that I enjoy. So
because you have it. How'd you obtain that?
Some prison guard. I don't know if he smuggled it out or what, but he sold it to me a little bit later.
How much?
$150.
Does it have her name on it?
Yeah, it says A. Warnos and a number in death row.
I'm surprised you haven't sold that.
Nah, it's from my collection.
Really?
It's my favorite item, so I don't want to get rid of it.
And what does your collection encompass? What do you have?
It's mostly art and letters, and I got a Herbert Mullins wristwatch.
Wow.
And paintings all over the place, and drawings, letters, pictures.
Now, see, you're working on a book here, Redeem Us From Evil, a detailed look at original artistic creations of serial killers and murderers. Wow, that title right there would say to me, I ain't buying it. Too much reading.
There ain't very much text. It's mostly pictures, you know, because if you're going to look at the art, you don't want to read about it. You want to look at the pictures themselves.
Yeah, yeah. There's, you know what? And I have to tell you, as far as the art goes, I'm not into it. But I'll tell you one thing. I'd buy a book full of collectibles, like the Warnos jacket or the Death Row shirt. I know A.D. Gore has Ted Bundy's, the shit they wrapped him in on the cart when they wheeled him out of death row.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, he's got that. The bag they zipped him up in and everything. It says Florida State Craig has blood stains on it and everything. Gore has a really sweet collection, and, that's what I'm in. You know what? We're going to bring in John right after the song from John Kowalski. Wait, let's just make this easy on me. Forgo the Polish name. HHHolmesTheFilm.com. John Borowski. We're gonna have him in and talk some more about H.H. Holmes, America's serial killer. Come on, first.
I don't think it's first published one.
Well,
publicized.
I say we pummel him with our fists for that.
What do you think?
No, I'm joking. We love John.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy, but forget about him as a guy. He's a great filmmaker, and this is a hell of a fucking
movie. The movie was great. He sent me a copy to review for the site, and I loved it.
And you're confused, aren't you? You're confused by calling it a movie, a documentary, a film?
I called it a docu-film. I didn't know what the hell to call it. That just sounded good to me.
Yeah, and that's what makes it so fucking cool. I was watching it going, man, this is a documentary. It's a film. It's a documentary.
The recreations he done of the castle, because it's like, how did he do it? Then it has the making of and the special features.
Isn't that cool?
And it's just one wall that he redone three different times.
Yeah, and I mean, I think this dude's going somewhere, man. I think he's going to be like
he's making a fish movie. I want to check out. It's supposed to be, it sounds like it's going to be really good. Judging from this one, it should be great.
Yeah, but I think he's going to be going somewhere soon. I think we'll see him on a red carpet somewhere.
I hope so.
Don't you?
Yeah. Good luck to him.
You know, then you'll get nothing. Serious SK Central will get not one review copy.
Put me in the fucking credits of the next movie.
I tell you, well, you know, that's what'll happen. He'll get big and he'll forget us. He'll forget you, forget us, forget the serial killer made him.
So
what
fuck
he is.
The little people.
No, he's a talented dude. And he's coming in, and we're going to talk more about the actual DVD and less about John, the filmmaker, and more about this great DVD. And it's really, really good. I have to say, it's confusing. You want to call it a film, you want to call it a movie, you want to call it a documentary. And I think you summed it up good. What did you call it?
Docufilm.
Docufilm. It's a good one.
It's the best thing I could think of to call it.
And it is really original. It's a very original thing. I'm going to play a song, and fuck you. Let me see if I can. Okay. John Borowski.
Hey, how are you?
There you go. I can't see you. All the stuff stacked up
there
everywhere.
You go. Now we can see each other.
And you know, John, you're like 8 feet tall, so it's hard not to see. So it's a messy studio. John is like 8 feet tall. Joe had to bring the mic. It's like Motorhead. It was like Lemmy's mic.
Yeah, exactly.
No, this was all going on. All these interviews have gone on in a course of like a month. No, just a couple days. But we were just talking about how great your DVD is.
Cool, thanks.
And we were talking about, I was saying, I was sort of confused. I didn't know what to, is it a film? Is it a documentary? And you came up with...
Like docufilm. That's the best way to describe it I could think of.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do again, you know,
talking to that mic, bro.
You know,
what'd you say now, docufilm?
Yeah, docufilm.
Yeah, because I feel a lot of these documentaries are, you know, the narrator has a monotone and it's, you know, on September 23rd. You know, I wanted an actor and I wanted the film to move like an actual narrative film. I didn't want people to get bored. And, you know, I threw in reenactments in there because I knew people would want to see what this guy's torture dungeon might have looked like.
Yeah.
Because if I would have just showed photos of the building, it's like, okay, boring. I really wanted to pull that audience in and engage them.
The Tony J guy you got, he had a hell of a voice for it.
Yeah, he's awesome. Yeah, you know, and again, that's what we were talking about the other day, that I love Vincent Price, so that's why I tried to, you know, get like a Vincent Price kind of voice.
It has like a creepy sound that goes with it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, he has that almost, you know, guttural evil, you know, the epitome of it, this guy's voice. That was so great.
And so we're talking about HHHolmesTheFilm.com, and it's one hell of a DVD. It's only available through your website.
Yes.
And so people don't think you can pick this up at Blockbuster. This is a real independent movie that really shouldn't be. It's made better than the shit you see at Blockbusters with Gacy and Speck. That shit, oh, it's irritating, horrible, and it makes me want to give up on stuff like this. I would probably not even look at this film because of those.
There's hope.
Yeah, there is. And your docu-film, which is such a great name for it, is... And by the way, we're playing Lights Out, Murder Castle underneath us. And I'm going to turn it up.
Okay. Iron shortage is what's to blame.
So what the hell is this?
What it is, it's an actual 1943 broadcast of an old-time radio show that they wrote about Holmes. Now, they changed the names, of course, but, you know, you can tell by the title, it's Murder Castle. So it's, you know, some of it's kind of cheesy and kind of funny, but it's, you're holding the actual LP, which is pretty cool, and I, you know, got that through some bids. So I've got a ton of, I brought some stuff in, but I've got a, I'd say the, it's a regular 33.
It's like 30, oh, it's like 30 minutes. Now, I know you don't want me to take any of this out. You can't leave it. You don't want me to have nothing. You're very secretive with your stuff. He's a true greedy artist. That's why
that's
we know
right.
He's going somewhere. He's going to be popular and famous and forget about everyone. That's how we know. You can't have nothing. Can I play this next week on my show?
What, the... Yeah, oh yeah, feel free.
I just
want
to play it in its entirety.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you say for free?
I don't know, for free.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I think...
How many stations is it going to? How much of a percentage?
Well, you know.
Promotion.
I'll give you an ad.
That's cool, yeah.
So we're I'm going to play this CD in its entirety next week.
Yeah, I want people to hear it. Let your viewer, you know, your listeners listen in. It's okay. You know, it's, like I said, it's kind of cheesy,
cool
but
idea.
it's interesting.
But it's going to top off the month of promotion for the HH Home Films that
awesome.
We're giving you. So.
Awesome.
So we're going to play this next week with other serial killer clips like I promised.
Let me know if you want to see any of this other stuff.
I do. So it's show and tell. John knows how to make a radio show exciting by bringing visuals, okay? Oh!
I've got the, well, I'm naked too, of course.
Hey, but. Hey, don't tell people that. We just, hey.
He's on my side of the counter.
Sorry, I'll move out of the way here, but. So I've got this, this is an actual 1896 book. It's, you know, actually from that time period, the Holmes Peitzel case. I've got it in plastic. We could take it out and look at it later, but,
plans on
I'll pass it to Joe.
This.
Yeah,
hopefully
actually.
Hopefully before I do.
Yeah,
I'm rushing to the printer right now. We're formatting things. We're trying to catch up to you.
Oh,
but
man.
You already have it formatted.
Yeah, right now it's
that's what he says to slow me down. I don't believe him. I'm formatting. Ooh, this is right from your DVD, too, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm touching a celebrity thing.
Yeah, the I've released the whole book on CD-ROM, so people could purchase that off the website too. They could print up the whole book or read
that's
it
like
on
an e-book.
Computer. Exactly.
And did you scan in the pages properly?
No, those were transcribed word for word.
That's a lot of typos.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Time.
No, not a lot of typos.
I said yes.
No, a lot of time.
My
I thought you were going to say
time. No, I'm teasing. No, John's really putting out a nice package. He's really grabbing hold of the H.H. Holmes market before. This guy's wrestling with Tom Cruise, basically.
Well, yeah, that's what I heard.
Paramount. Whoa, he's wrestling with Tom Cruise. I didn't even know that part. Exactly.
It's pretty interesting because I was told that Paramount is afraid of me, and I'm like, wow, hey, that's great. You know, little John Borowski, Paramount Pictures, is afraid because they're afraid, you know, that I may sue them if anything appears in their film. But anyway, moving on, we've got The Girls in Nightmare House. This was a pulp novel. I think this was from the 40s as well. You've got... four women on the cover, all with green eyes, of course. I don't know why, but that's an interesting book, too. It was a true another true crime.
So this here, the Holmes...
Peitzel case.
Peitzel. Why is it called Peitzel?
Because Peitzel was the man
the
he murdered.
Helped.
Right. He was the one he murdered over that life
but
insurance
scam. You alluded to in the DVD that he was like his accomplice. Yeah, you pretty much. Didn't say that. You said he was just like a drunken buffoon.
Right. He was he was his right hand man. So
was he an accomplice though? Was he a?
Did he help kill?
See, that's the one question I had after that DVD. Me and Amy, she's like, "Oh, he had an accomplice," and I said, "Well, he didn't say that. Maybe he was just a drunken buffoon that just carried out sacks of potatoes for all he knew."
Well, I talked to Amy about that, and
on air.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. We did. And I spoke with Everett, the author of The Scarlet Mansion. That's another book on Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
And he said in his research, he found that 98% of what was in his book was accurate because he went through all the original court transcripts and all the original, the actual words said between people. And he said, in one shape or another, he was involved, just like Holmes's second wife probably knew a little about what Holmes was doing, but in the end, she was set up and well met, never had to worry about anything. So what did she say? Oh, he never hurt me or my child. Well, why would she say something bad about him? She's been set up her whole life with money and a house.
Why did he leave Chicago and drive all around if he was rich and he had all the... It looked like the way you laid it out in the documentary, the docufilm, is sort of like he was on the run almost, or he was looking to hustle up more money or something because he didn't have the money to facilitate something.
Well, no, he was, he was maintaining this castle of horrors
here in
Chicago.
That's Henry H.H. Holmes, Herman Mudgett.
Yeah. He was maintaining this building for a while. Things were getting hot. He had been implicated in
hot
some of these scams.
Wise, or cops were coming down on him.
Cops were coming down.
Okay.
Well, it does get hot in Chicago.
Exactly.
But,
I would want to leave.
So I think he knew that it was at his time, because I find it interesting that he left right after the 1893 World's Fair. Well, he probably killed so many people that he knew someone was going to come looking for someone that he may have killed. So he's like, okay, now my next scam I'm going to put into place, kill this guy, get a huge amount of money, and then kill his whole family. He wanted to wipe them all out so no one knew or no one could say the truth of what he was actually doing.
You got anything to say? I'm letting that resonate a little. I guess... you made me believe the first time you were in here that he was doing this for money and business.
Yes, that's what I feel.
Not pleasure.
Did he get any pleasure
out
of it?
There's
business
in doing the last end of the crimes. What was the business? See, that's what sort of...
Well, that was a big chunk of money. He was getting 10 grand from this insurance scam. I mean, back then, 10 grand, that's a huge deal. So you're looking at that amount. He could have, I thought he was going to go overseas. I thought he was going to leave because he had been all across the Midwest. So I thought he was going to take that chunk of money, wipe out this family and go, and then who would know what really happened.
So he was tying up loose ends.
Exactly.
Okay. Is that what it seemed to be like? It was like a frenzy or something like that. And he was, had to be doing something.
Well, he was going. Yeah, he was going. Well, there's a little bit of a hint that he may have done something to one of the younger girls, because that came about in the trial. There's my film.
Joe looks like he's going to kill you.
My film is just
he's looking at you like he's going to kill
my
you.
Film is just the tip.
He's not budging.
The tiny tip of that huge iceberg. I could have did it easy. If there was enough material, 10 or 20 hour movie on the subject, because there's so much that this guy did. Take 1 year of his life and look at all these scams that he did. I mean, there was so much that he did.
The bodies that he was selling to the medical, did they question where he got them at?
No.
He showed up with a bunch of skeletons there.
People
cool,
ask,
some money.
Yeah, right, yeah. People
are you looking
that.
To go into business, Joe?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if you pay better
right
than
right out the studio window. No one's going to miss that dude.
But, I think it was a time period, because look at how many years Holmes had this building and what he got away with. He had no driver's license, no social security card. He would go from state to state, change his name everywhere he went. So, I think it was
Holmes and Mudgett.
I think, here's a I'm a doctor. I've got a skeleton. My building. I'm a businessman. He was well known in the community.
So
I'm sure it was a handshake.
How many different names did he have, Joe was asking her?
Oh, dozens.
Really?
Dozens. I mean, you saw in the film there were some of his aliases going by.
It's sort of spooky, but the more you're in here talking about this, the more I see, wow, I am really like a serial killer, because I have a lot of aliases. I want to travel. I told Amy, let's sell the house and roam the country, and why not? And I'm like, am I? Maybe.
You have some of the traits, I think.
Oh, I have all of the traits, buddy. I'm that close. I just haven't found out what my cereal is. I haven't refined it to one fetish.
You got to get a gimmick in there.
I thought it was Lucky Charms. I didn't know.
That's my cereal. That's a killer cereal. I'm trying to figure this out, but I do feel like, and Joe, you have some of the characteristics as well, man.
One or two.
So, I mean, that's why I say Amy and John are coming from a different way. And you didn't have the bad childhood, no. You know. I'd like to say I did, you know, but who knows, next to someone else, it's probably a great childhood. That others are horrified, I don't know, but, you know. I would never blame Mom and Dad, though. I'd do it like Richard or something like that. He was saying, Joe was saying, Joe from SKCentral.com here, he was talking about Albert Fish being his one of his favorite killers.
Awesome. Yeah.
And explain to him.
Yeah, why?
Just a strange grandpa guy. You know, you just look at him, you know something's wrong with this guy. He's got fucking problems in his head. No normal guy sticks needles up in his crotch. You know?
Now, would you get your... Now, let me ask you this, sir. You're walking down the street where you got kids, you have a house, and the Albert Fish is next to you. Would you give your kids to Albert Fish?
No, but
John would. John said he looks like a guy that you give your kids to. I go, motherfucker, I don't know who you give your kids
this
to.
This is the first
day
I met this fucking guy. Here, take my
hey,
kids.
Thanks for these gifts, by the way. These are
no
nice.
Way, no
the
way.
The Holmes Pitzer original book,
no
Night
way.
Girls and Nightmares. Yes, I love it. Thank you so much, John. Thank you. You see, that's what people do when they come in here. They give me a lot of gifts.
But do you think that's because you know, Joe, the history of Albert Fish? Because from what I've heard at that time, when they caught him, even the detective said, this guy's a little old grandfather. No one would ever think he'd do it.
It's like the first time you met him, though, and I ain't going to give my kid out to some dude the first time I met him.
I know, but see, again, we've moved into a smarter, supposedly smarter society.
That's
because
probably what it is, because I don't trust, period, no one. I couldn't look at anyone and trust them.
Now, of course, there's stranger danger, but look at that time period. He was the one that started that, because he would give candy. No one would even question it. That's why, like, at the beginning of my film, he's going to be giving candy to a little kid, and the parents will be there. Oh, what a nice old man. Nowadays, forget it. Do you think any parent would let someone give their kid candy, a stranger? But they did then. You
well,
see,
on your personal site, you got a preview for the movie you got coming up, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's a trail. It's a teaser. It's not, you know, the person in it won't be in the final product, but it's just to give you a little hint of the atmosphere and what it's going to be like. So
it looks pretty good so far.
Thanks. Cool.
A creepy feel to it.
Yeah, that's what I want. I want it nice and creepy. You know, I see a lot of influence in some of the old Salem movies, like Nosferatu, with shadows going up walls, and, you know, here's all.
Yeah, kind of had that in the Holmes film, like with the circle cam,
yeah,
where it's
exactly.
Dark on the edges.
Yeah, cool. Awesome.
But now the difference between the H.H. Holmes docu-film and Fish is an actual film.
Yes, it'll be an actual feature film. You know, actors, the whole thing, locations. We're looking to shoot some locations in New York, some of the original locations. I'm going there next month to do research.
Is that what you want to start doing, is feature film, or you want to stay with documentary?
No, feature films. That's been my love, and that's I did Holmes because it was it was cheaper to do it as a documentary.
Does Fish have a gravestone I can steal?
You know, I don't know. I haven't looked into that.
Holmes has one.
Holmes has an unmarked one, right?
Unmarked.
But that stone you were standing next to,
was that his?
The stone that you stood
next to? No, that wasn't his.
So, you know, no. I've got this great idea.
Well, that's between
us. We can
us,
make it.
Yeah.
We're going to, you know what, in later shows, all right, John stopped me. He is, you see, you know John's going to be going down the red carpet soon enough.
Well, you know, if you say it now, then someone's going to do it tomorrow.
You're right. Let me tell you.
I was looking online for prices already, so we're doing it.
Let me tell you something. In the next couple of weeks, there's some shit that's going to unfold that is going to be stellar, and you're in on it. Let me tell you. And Joe, you're in
cool.
on it too, man.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
It's going to be stellar.
Yeah.
And we might even, you know, we might even be in prison.
Take the good with the bad.
Yeah.
That's right. We'll actually get to meet some of these people then.
You know, I also heard you talking to Amy as I was knocked out of here, knocked cold for that last interview. They knocked me over with a sledgehammer. You guys were talking about the perfect... I heard very little of it in my days. Well, it was like the perfect murder, maybe, or was it how you would kill someone?
Well, she was asking me how I would kill someone, and I don't know. I just thought about poisoning or something, you know, because that was actually in Strangers on a Train, the Hitchcock film.
I said poisoning, and Joel said strangling, because it's just... What'd you say?
It's more personal.
Right.
It's more fun. And I said, you know, if I were into raping, I'd definitely have to strangle because it would tighten up around the dick. And maybe I have to strangle. But I'm with the poisoning because it's not really messy and you could just watch them die and just sit there and sip the coffee. You know, I can imagine Dorothea Puente, a woman
that I did
a cookbook with, and she was poisoning the old folks in her home, and it talks about when they took her to court. They talk about how she sat there and watched them die, and they'd be sitting there, oh, I'm hurting. And she goes, let me get you a pill. You know, let me get you
something. She knew right
but
the whole time.
But she didn't just kill him quick. She let him die slow, which is the...
And she enjoyed watching it.
Which is the fun thing about talking to old Dorothea. She almost got out. She was up for parole, and I wrote a letter saying if Dorothea was paroled, she could move in with me and cook for me and clean. And I wasn't joking, and Amy's like, are you kidding? I'm like, no.
And you would let her cook?
Yeah. I would.
I'd eat takeout.
Absolutely.
Wow. I'd do takeout too.
I'd let her cook for me. Yeah, I'd let her cook for me.
I'd rather let Dahmer cook for me before her.
Dorothea would be sitting on my lap while I ate. I'd make her eat a little first, though. Believe me. I'd say.
I'd let her know I didn't have no life insurance policies first.
That's true. You got no money coming, and you know, right. And listen, honey, it's a lot easier. You know what? And she'd give me the meal. I'd go, give me your plate. You know, I'd switch around, make little things here and there, I'd mix things up. I would definitely supervise the cooking, okay? I would help. I'd be her boy, okay? Let me tell you.
Smoke.
Oh, go ahead and smoke. Yeah, you smoke, you know, look at you're a serial killer of yourself.
No, serial killers don't do drugs. That new book, I thought they don't do anything.
Killing me with that book. We talked about Helen Moron earlier.
Yeah, that's a good name for her.
How I cannot believe that lady's selling books, and she's actually on, like, Good Morning America and all these fucking hot shows selling it, and that book's selling well.
I hope people don't believe it.
But it's a nonfiction.
Yeah, right, it is.
It's a fake book, really.
There's a big press release when it came out about how good it's supposed to be.
You know where she started? Mendona Mental Health Facility with Keene. And she said she sat down and talked to Keene. And then she says Keene had his mother in the house, which...
Nobody's ever... Even wrestlers said
no. He tried digging her up, but he couldn't get the grave open.
Yeah. Right, but I didn't hear he tried digging her up. I heard he just went there and weeped on a grave and shit like that. He was...
There's a documentary about Keene on the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre Special Edition.
Yeah, but that's a bunch of fake, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did they talk about the stone being gone?
Ned said it was an unmarked grave now.
There it is. There it is, baby. Unmarked grave now. They didn't say it was stolen?
No.
Oh, God, I can't ever get any fucking bones, man.
Because it's Hollywood. They don't want to give anyone bones. Because
fucking stone. I mean, I didn't steal it. Someone dropped it off at the house.
It was remade.
That's the story I'm going with, and I'm getting that stone back. You watch.
I'm taking it home with me.
I know where it is.
It's in the trunk.
It's in a garage. I got the half down in the basement. I'm going to show you. We got show and tell. You see the Keene rubbings. People can see this on ClearRingRadio.com.
They're great.
Yeah.
And then there's I brought a sample of another, it's an illustrated novel, graphic novel called The Beast of Chicago by Rick Geary. This just came out recently.
Ooh, and this is about Mudgett?
Yeah, it's about Mudgett Holmes.
Let's call him Mudgett just to piss off John. You mean H.H. Mudgett, the new film
don't
I'm
call
doing?
Mudgett.
Me and Joe, we scripted out a plan to do H.H. Mudgett, the real story.
Don't even say Mudgett. You see why he changed his name, you know? I mean, imagine if we were talking about that serial killer Mudgett.
Maybe we see why he started killing. He got all that, this is the Beast of Chicago?
So when you went to his house there in New Hampshire, did you get to go into it?
Yeah,
see,
went
right
into
next door.
It in the basement, saw the room he probably stayed in. Yeah, it was pretty scary.
The Beast of Chicago, Rick Geary?
Yeah. Rick Geary.
And this is an illustrated novel?
Yeah.
And this
awesome.
Is the guy who did one of your posters.
Yes.
I saw on the DVD extras, but you you kicked him to the curb and broke his feelings, and now the guy's penniless and John Borowski at johnborowski.com is a heartless Hollywood mogul, and he hasn't gotten there yet, but he is. He's kicking people to the curb.
He's got Thompson.
When you see the
cover
of The Beast of Chicago, you're going to see this guy's talented. And
Rick's great.
And John cares not. He can kick me to get out. No good.
No,
he's no good.
He thanked me in the book, and he's got credit in my film. He did the floor plans.
Did you inspire
No. Again, this was another thing that almost like the that other Holmes book, that Devil book. They were happening at the same time. I was making mine. So while Rick Geary was doing his, we would go back and forth. He'd send me some pages, and I'd show him some of the film. It was really cool.
I guess that goes into the whole thing of great minds think alike sometimes, and there's a lot of the. a lot of times I'm thinking I'm getting ripped off by ideas sometimes. And I think maybe, you know, there's a lot of people have the same ideas at the same time, or it's just that time. Just
didn't act on it quick enough.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's my story, right? Obviously, John did act on it quick enough.
And, oh, I got lucky, yeah.
Man, you did. And you're cornering the market, though, because you're publishing... You are publishing the two books.
Yeah, two books. Yes.
And you're doing Mr. Holmes.
Yeah, his own story that he wrote when he was in prison.
Is that available anywhere now?
No,
you can't get any of these books.
He's the guy cornering the market. So when Tom Cruise is making the movie, this is the guy that's going to be profiting.
Well, I should have been working 4 years on the movie, you know.
You should have worked 4 minutes on it. You got a good idea.
Right.
And you're going with it. That's really cool.
Yeah, and the other book is the Holmes Peitzel case, which Detective Geyer wrote about how he found the bodies of these children. And there's some of the court trial in there as well. But I'm right now they're available on CD-ROM from the website, but I'll be releasing them as books.
HHHolmes.com.
HHHolmesTheFilm.com.
And that has nothing to do with John Holmes.
That's right, no.
And so when will those books be available?
Soon. We're formatting them, so hopefully within the next 2 days. I've said that for you.
48 hours, you bastard.
That's right.
No, really, they'll be available in the next
90 month or
days
two.
Or something
Yeah,
like
they'll
that?
Be collector's editions. They'll have a foreword either by myself or someone else, and they may have some floor plans.
Listen,
from
I
the
won't
castle,
publish them in 48 hours, but I'm doing the forewords.
Oh, well, we could talk about that.
I'm joking. I'm always trying to muscle my way in.
Order forms for the DVD included.
That's right.
I'm telling you, that's a nice package, too. Yeah, you got so many ways to package this now, John.
Box set, get the books and the movie at the same time.
That's what I'm saying. Get it all.
I'm very impressed by your mogul.
Thank you. Independence, that's what we have to do to survive, and it's... And why not? This is a true story, so when people do see the Hollywood film, they could see the true film documentary, read the books, the true stories, and then find out what the real, you know, deal is, rather than reading these books by this, you know, woman and the Hollywood stuff, because I'm afraid that people are going to take those as reality, but they're not.
So you know that the Ed Gein story, this mom and that upstairs is going to be all over the internet when somebody reads that book, and it's going to be all false information. It's going to ruin everything's...
Right.
You study and then you're going to be full of false shit.
And I want to know what the real deal is. Yeah. You know, what really happened? And then it's up to me, and I will one day do a film on Gein, and it'll be the best ever. And it's
really,
you know, yeah, because listen to this cocky son of a bitch.
It'll be the best ever.
Confidence.
I love that attitude, though. I'm not giving you grief about it. I just really am. I mean, more people should take note of how John's doing this. This is how you survive. He's doing books. He's doing his DVD. He did T-shirts to promote posters. Yeah. He's a total independent, bouncing checks, scamming credit cards, whatever he's got to do to get it made.
Yeah,
future Holmes.
He took
a note from Holmes. The bones in that film, I'm thinking, I'm threading, are real.
They might be real. He cleaned them himself.
Maybe. Some of the investors.
Maybe.
How much
for one of them?
Listen, show some more tit. Okay. Come over here, mister.
That's John's producer,
acid vat.
Sign the check first, or show me the cash first, and then we'll...
Don't ask any questions. Just take the body.
John is a total pro. He corrects himself even with that. Sign the check. No. Show me the cash.
Show me the cash. And then walk in. Let me show you my, glass bending, furnace.
Yeah.
Don't slip.
So I'm really impressed by your stuff. And where do you obviously went to school for this, or is this business savvy coming just from...
Well, no, yeah, this business savvy is just, I mean, it's come for me. It's survival. I went to school to learn filmmaking technique, and once I learned every aspect of how to make films, okay, the next thing is how the hell to get them made. And, of course, for this, I had to do credit cards and loans and whatever I could do to get it done, but, you know, the next step is hopefully either working with private investors or several companies that may fund it.
I like how you used just that one wall and then redone it 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
That's good work right there. Yeah. That's a way to save money.
Yeah. You know, in the end, it's like, okay, how can I do this without having a $1 million budget? And how do I get the vision in my head on the film? And that's why I said Gein will be the best, because I want to get to the true essence of what his story was and really make the audience feel what was going on, rather than just throwing some stuff up on the screen saying, oh, this is the Gein story. Well, it's not.
So I guess to do that, you're going to take a little bit off the John Waters thing and get scratch and sniff stuff, the true essence.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Oh!
That would be interesting.
Outside the box.
We got another minute or so, but JoeSKCentral.com, JohnBorowski.com, HHHolmesTheFilm.com, ThreeRingRadio.com is really the only site you need to go to. Well, it's not much there, but their links will be on there, too. You got anything to say to Joe about his website real quick? Anything?
Yeah, definitely visit. It's an awesome site. That, you know, there are bios on it and a ton of great information. And the DVD review of my film is on it. And it's a great, you know, Serial Killer Central. That's what I call the Midwest here.
Appreciate it.
Really?
Yeah, well, we've had all the best of the worst, you know, in the Midwest.
So. We have, haven't we?
Yeah.
There's something to be said for that. I don't know what.
Ohio needs to get some interesting people in it.
What? You could be the start of that.
There's a job opportunity right there. Right.
See you later, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
You know, I wish I was you and your kind had one neck so I could just get my hands around it. Just ring it. Now get out.